Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Well, we've been talking about being committed, right? And committed is huge. Boy, the Bengals wouldn't have won last night if they weren't committed, right? Got to be committed. If you're going to win in anything, you're going to have to be committed. That's just the way it is, right? Your marriage, your relationships, if you're not committed, it's not going to work. Business, if you're not committed and honoring people and doing good business, it's not going to work. You got to be committed, right? Whatever, anything that's of any value or of any worth, you're going to have to be committed. That's just how it is. And God has designed us that way. Remember, what's the word commitment mean? It's the Greek or the Hebrew word Golgotha. And that's where Jesus was crucified, on Golgotha's hill. So really, the ultimate idea behind the word commitment is you need to be willing to die for what you believe. Right? For what you're committed to. That's pretty strong, isn't it? So if it's not worth dying for, it's not worth being committed to, right? So God wants us to be committed to Him and dependent on Him. Now hear this. The commitment's not for Him. It's for you. You see that? When you're committed, it's going to benefit you. The more you're committed, the more you are benefited from it. The more you are blessed because of it, because you are committed. So, we're going to look at this. Let's go to our foundational scripture after we read the vision. And hello, live stream. Thank you for tuning in. We've been getting some good reports from the live stream. All right. Now, let's look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We thank You for everyone here. We thank You for those who are tuned in to live stream. Lord, we ask that You speak to our hearts today. Lord, we just need revelation, knowledge, and understanding in this area of commitment. You said if you commit your works to the Lord, You will establish our thoughts. Lord, we just commit this time and everything we have right now to You. And we ask that You impart wisdom and revelation in all of us, live stream and in the church here. Father, teach us Your will and Your ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So, this word, commit, look what it says. Commit your way to the Lord. So, He tells us, commit your way to the Lord. Not when you commit your way to the Lord, you're doing it His way. Right? Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. So, then He says, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So, remember, the word commit means Golgotha. But it also means to roll away. To roll away, the Hebrew meaning, means Golgotha, but it also means to roll away. So when you're committed, you roll away. What's he talking about, roll away? Burdens. When you're committed to God and dependent on Him, you roll away your burdens, your problems, your struggles. You roll them onto God. You see that? And that comes from the history of a camel. A camel would put burdens on these big burdens, put them all on the camels, and the camels would have to go on these journeys. And after so long with these heavy loads, their water would deplete, and they would have to get refreshed with water. But what they would do is they would get down on their knees and roll off their burden so they could continue the journey. So here's the concept behind that. We're to roll our burdens onto the Lord daily. We're not designed to carry burdens. We're not camels, we're sheep.
Amen.
You don't see pack sheep, do you?
Amen.
We're sheep. And so we're not designed to carry burdens. God wants you dependent on Him. That's why He says, come to me, all of you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. When you're committed to Him, you just roll it onto Him, and He takes your burden.
Amen.
You see that? Well, that sounds easier than, but here's the idea. Look at the next word. Trust also in Him. The word trust in Hebrew means careless. So when I'm committed, I can be careless because I'm trusting God. See this? Careless. He says in 1 Peter 5, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. It says resist the devil because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking him whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. See, you resist the devil. You have power to resist the devil when you cast your cares onto God. You see that? Because you've given them all to God. If you don't give them to God, the enemy will take your cares and your worries and your fears and use them against you. Because you're not committed. When you're committed, you'll cast your cares right on Him. That's the way we should do this every day. That's why I love the verse in Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and He'll establish your thoughts. That word establish means secure. It means reliability. It means foundation. See that? You're reliable. You have a foundation. You're secure when you're committed. And He does that in your thoughts. He establishes your thoughts when you've committed yourself to Him. While you're at work, you're not going to be dogging the boss all day or running around thinking negative about somebody. You see this? You're going to be free to be a healthy witness while you're there. And so people might want what you have. They might. They might look at you and think, boy, I need to talk to this person. Or they'll look at you and say, man, I sure don't want what they got. Right? But we're here for as a witness. We're supposed to be influencing others and helping others. You say, well, you don't know the people I work with. They don't want a Christianity. They may not want, you know what? Here's the idea. This is how it works. Either God's using them to change you, or God's using you to change them. If He's not using you to change them, He's using them to change something in you. That's just how it is. That's really how it is. And when you're committed, you'll get it. You'll get what He's trying to communicate to you. Because you've gone, you've committed, you've rolled away. Now you're ready to hear from Him when you go to work, when you go into your day. Am I making sense? All right. So, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What's He going to bring to pass? Addictions. Negative habits. Anger. Pornography. alcoholism, he'll bring it to pass. He'll take it off of you. He'll remove it when you're committed. If you're not committed, that's going to be steering your life. Am I making sense? All those things come from a bitter root in your life. But God is going to help you be free of that. When you begin, if you understand what I'm preaching today, you'll never be the same. It's going to help you. Now watch this. Go with me now to Isaiah 35. Now remember, this is a messianic scripture. This is prophecy of Christ coming the first time. Now, this is, you know, Christmas, you know. That was prophesied over 700 years before Jesus came. Now, think about this. So now, all that has already happened. This right here, what we're talking about, has already taken place. Are you hearing me? That ought to make you say, I really want to hear what about him when he's coming back the second time. That's what that does to me. I'm looking for him to come back, right? We ought to be looking for Jesus to come back. Amen? The author and the finisher of our faith. We should be looking for him. I know. So the idea is we're supposed to have joy and peace and share that with others because we're anticipating his return. Now, remember Isaiah 61:10? My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorns herself with jewels, and as the earth causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so and the garden causes things that are spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. In other words, all the nations are going to know there's some folks on this planet that know God. Are you listening to me? And that's what it says. We're sowing it now in the earth. Because one day, the people of God now are born again, the new creation, they're going to serve God in the new heaven and the new earth. And we're sowing for that now.
Amen.
That's what's going on. All right. So, let's keep looking. The wilderness, see, the world is the wilderness. Remember, we're the garden. The people of God, we're the garden. Now look. And the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with what? Joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellence of our God. Now, you know what he's talking about? Israel there. You know, Israel has a water supply that scientists and no one can understand why it's so abundant there. You see that? It sells water-dependent fruit and water-dependent vegetables. One of the largest distributors in the world. This little region, it's 60% desert, but it has a water supply that's unlimited. Fresh water. God put that there. That's a picture of you and of me. We've been grafted in to Israel. That's a physical picture of the way we're supposed to be. He said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Solutions, ideas, creativity out of your heart. You see, that's why we got to keep ourselves praising the Lord. keep ourselves in a position to receive from him. Because if we get all consumed with worry and anxiety and fear, remember? It says in Matthew 13, the cares of this life choke out the word of God. When you're carrying it, you're stopping his word from getting to your heart that you need for what you're going through in life. All right, stay with me. Now watch this. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. Now give me verse 3. Strengthen. Don't we need strength? See, this is what this is for. The Messiah strengthens. He strengthens. And that's what he came for, to strengthen his people so they can fulfill his will now and get ready for the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Now look. Did we read verse 4 yet? No. Let's go on to verse 4, and then we're going to go back to this. I'm getting wound up. No. Go back to verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Verse 4. So say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. You see that? He's coming to save you. He's already done this. But he's going to do it again. You see this? When he comes back again. Now listen, if you're not saved when he comes back again, it's going to be too late. Huh? So that's why we have to be busy and be understand what the will of the Lord is now so we can help other people in. So preparing them when he comes back. Now watch. Now, let's go back to verse 3. This is what we shared last week. Strengthen the weak hands. So now, remember what hands represent. Hands represent worship. Worship. So, when I worship, I'm going to raise my hands. Because my hands are a part of worship. Remember, I showed you all those scriptures last week about raising your hands, lifting your hands in the sanctuary. Raising your... You know what? Remember what I told you when I first became a believer? I went to a Bible-believing church and, you know, they all had their hands up. And I said, I'll never do that. A month later, there they were. My hands were up. See, if you're all consumed and worried about what people think, God can't get to you what you need. See, you've got your mind on something else. You don't have your mind on him. Because you know what? That's the only posture you should have. When you honor and respect and fear God, our hands ought to be up and giving him glory and honor that's due. Am I making sense? Because it's going to be for eternity. They're going to be that way for all eternity. Might as well start now, right? So think about this. You know, well, I don't have to raise my hands. Well, you don't have to, but you're not going to receive anything either then. Well, I raise them in my heart. Lamentations 3. Lift up your hearts and your hands unto the Lord. We're supposed to raise our hands. It frees you. You see that? It frees you. Well, I don't want to go to a church where they do. Well, then this one isn't for you. Because we're going to raise our hands in the sanctuary. Am I making sense? I want to receive from God. I'm going to worship him. You know, folks, listen to me. I'm not trying to put something on you. I'm trying to help you. This is a biblical way of worship. Now watch. So now, he says, think about this. Make firm the feeble knees. What do the knees represent? The knees represent prayer. Prayer. Remember the camels would unload their burdens? They would get down on knees. When you get down on your knees, you unload your burdens. So we talked about if you're going to be committed in 2022, you're going to have to start a prayer life. And you're going to have to begin to worship. If you're committed, you're going to see His will fulfilled in your life. Am I making sense? And remember, the commitment's not for God. It's for you. And that's how you bring out the best in you when you're committed. Now, so now we're going to look at verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. So what happens when your heart departs from God? Fear comes in. You see that? That's what happens. Fear comes in when your heart departs from God. Fear, remember the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Remember when Joseph was beaten by his brothers? The devil has evidence, but it's false. It's always deceptive. He always has evidence. And they beat Joseph because he had that dream and vision. And they beat him and they sold him into slavery. And they took his coat of many colors and they dipped it in animal's blood. And they took it back to their father. And their father said he's been killed by a wild animal. You see, it made it appear, had evidence. But that really didn't happen. Remember, he went on to Potiphar's house and got accused of rape. And then he went into the prison. They put him in prison. Never had done anything wrong. And Potiphar's wife tried to rape him. And he said, not in the eyes of my God. I can't do this. And he got out of there. He ran. And then he ended up in prison for not doing anything wrong. And then now they put him in charge in the prison. So he's ministering to people in the prison. Then he gets out of prison. And then they put him in Egypt, and now he's second man in charge over all the corn and all the produce, everything. And then his brothers had to come to him and get goods from him. And he took care of them. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good.
Amen.
You see that? Amen. And that's how it is. The enemy will try to show you evidence to destroy your life. But if you stay committed and stay in the faith, see, Joseph stayed in the faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see that? God will make sure you have evidence inside your heart and you know that you're going in the right direction when you stay in the faith. Because fear is outside of the faith. Fear is outside of the will of God. You see this? All right. Now, let's look at this. So he says, be strong, do not fear. He wants you and I to be strong. You know, I remember when I was raising my son, we would go running. I was a runner. I would run. You know, I'd go little 5K races and 10K races, and we'd be running in the woods, and I'd be talking to him. And I would talk to him about sex. I would talk to him about things, you know, everything. I didn't hold anything back because I wanted my son to understand what was going on. I started talking to him in fifth grade about everything. And we'd be out there running. Then when he got to high school, he would go to football games, basketball game, and, you know, maybe a track or with his friends on a Friday night. And if I was there, I'd say, son, be strong in the Lord, right before he left. Every time. Son, be strong in the Lord. He'd look at me. I know, Dad, be strong. You know what? He told me every time anything got a little, my voice would be in his head. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. You know, I had the privilege of marrying him and his wife. And he was a virgin when he got married. And my daughter was a virgin too. Be strong in the Lord. If you have young children, speak that over your children. Speak it over them. Because you can be strong. You can be strong. God wouldn't command it if it wasn't possible. You can be strong in the Lord. Am I making sense? And you know what, folks? It will help you to stay committed. Now listen to me. Go with me to Deuteronomy 31:6. You see, we got to guard our hearts. We want to worship with our hands. We want to make sure we're having a prayer life. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're starting fast. You know what? You're going to start praying. You know, and I don't mean have an hour of prayer before you go to work. You know, just have a time of prayer, moment, pray before you leave the house. Talk to God. Or, you know, you maybe get to work and you have a prayer time. Go in the bathroom. I used to go in the bathroom and sit on the commode, and I didn't even have to do no business. I was just in there praying. Seriously, you have to pray. Prayer works. It helps you how to respond to people. You see that? Because if you don't do that, your response is going to be wrong. And then it affects everything. You see this? All right, now watch. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, you see, Moses was putting this word in his heart. Now watch. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. All right. Can you give me verse 23 there? Chapter 31, verse 23. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, what did he say? Be strong. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I have swore to them, and I will be with you. You know what? God is with you. Amen. I mean, everything we're going through, he's with you. Now watch this. Give me Joshua 1:6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. All the law, that's the Torah. You see that? Now, that's the word of God. Now, think about this. No, give me verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 17. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you, as he was with Moses. He's putting this word in Joshua's heart. See this? For a reason. Now watch. Verse 18. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Only be strong.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.